Good evening. This is Akashwani. I'm Anuja Kumar with the news at 9. The headlines. Polling ends peacefully for assembly elections in Assam, Keralam and Puducherry. Assam registers over 85% voter turnout, Keralam over 78% and Puducherry about 89%. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in West Bengal and Tamil Nadu, with top leaders of various parties holding rallies in support of their candidates. India records highest ever annual solar capacity addition of around 45 gigawatt in financial year 2025-26. Israel says Lebanon is not part of the ongoing ceasefire between US and Iran. And in Asian Boxing Championships, Indian women boxers dominate by clinching 10 medals, including 4 gold in Mongolia. And now the news in detail. Polling has concluded peacefully for the assembly elections in Assam, Keralam and the Union Territory of Puducherry. Voters today cast their votes for the 126 seats in Assam, 140 seats in Keralam and 30 seats in Puducherry. In Assam, 85.4% polling was recorded. Maximum voter turnout of 95.17% was witnessed in South Salmara Mankachar district. More from a correspondent.
Despite adverse weather conditions, in certain areas, long queues were observed at several polling stations. This marks the highest voter turnout recorded in the last 4 assembly elections in the state. Among the districts, South Salmara Mankachar recorded the highest turnout at 95.13%, while West Kalbi Anglong registered the lowest at 74.53%. In Jalukbari constituency, represented by senior BJP leader and Chief Minister Himanta Biswa Sarma, a turnout of 81.54% was recorded. He is contesting against Bidisna Niyog of the Indian National Congress. Another closely watched seat is Dispur, where Congress candidate Meera Bothakur and BJP candidate Pradyut Bordoloi are in fray. Jorhat is witnessing a high-profile triangular contest involving Gaurav Gogoi of the Congress, Hitendra Nath Goswami of BJP and Aam Aadmi Party. Rakesh Dole, Akashwani News, Guwahati.
In Keralam, 78.05% voter turnout was recorded. Maximum 80.89 polling percentage was witnessed in Kozhikode district. We have a report.
All three major fronts have claimed higher voter turnout is in their favor. A total of 883 candidates were in the fray across 140 constituencies in Keralam. Chief Minister and CPM leader Pinarayi Vijayan contested from Dharmadam, while leader of opposition and Congress leader V.D. Satheesan contested from Paravur. BJP state president Rajiv Chandrasekharan was in the fray from Nemam. Other prominent candidates were Union Minister and BJP leader George Kurian, state minister and CPM leader Ken Balagopal, KPCC President Sunny Joseph and former BJP State President K. Surendran. Smithy M. Palluruthi, Akashwani News, Thiruvananthapuram.
Puducherry has scripted history by recording the highest ever voter turnout in its assembly elections, reflecting an exceptional display of democratic participation across the Union Territory. In the Union Territory of Puducherry, 89.83% voting was recorded. We have a detailed report.
The turnout of near 90% recorded this year has taken that electoral performance to a new high, setting fresh benchmark. Among the constituencies, Usuru recorded the highest turnout of 94.39%, while Mahe reported the lowest at 77.41%. Following the conclusion of polling, electronic voting machines have been sealed and are being moved to strong rooms set up at 6 centres across Puducherry. 294 candidates now await the people's verdict in this high turnout election. Prominent among them are Chief Minister N. Rangasamy, Pradesh Congress Committee President V. Vaithilingam, MP, BJP State President VP Ramalingam, Home Minister A. Namashivayam, Legislative Assembly Speaker R. Selvam and Opposition Leader R. Shiva. Bibinasnath, Akashwani News, Puducherry.
In the by-elections held in Bagalkote in Karnataka, 68.7% voting turnout was recorded, while in Davangere South, 68.55% voting was witnessed. In Nagaland's Koridang Assembly constituency in Mokokchung district, the polling percentage stands at 82.21%. In Tripura's Dharmnagar seat, 80.04% voting was recorded. Counting of votes for Assam, Keralam, Tamil Nadu, West Bengal and Union Territory of Puducherry will take place on the 4th of next month. Senior BJP leader Prime Minister Narendra Modi, while addressing Parivartan Sankalp rallies in Haldia, Asansol and Suri today, termed the ongoing West Bengal elections as a crusade to restore the state's former glory. Supporting BJP candidates, the Prime Minister asserted that while the rest of the country progresses rapidly, the Trinamool Congress has pushed Bengal backward. He claimed that after decades of decline under Congress and left rule, the TMC has further devastated the state through corruption, specifically citing its failure to make Bengal self-sufficient in fish production and the rise of coal and sand mafias in Asansol. Vowing to replace the current atmosphere of fear with trust, he assured that all corruption cases would be investigated, constitutional rights would be upheld, and the seventh pay commission would be implemented for state employees and teachers. The Prime Minister also participated in a massive roadshow in Asansol as part of his campaign trail. Trinamool Congress Chief and Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee today asserted that her party will emerge victorious in the upcoming elections despite the BJP's alleged attempts to capture Bengal by deleting over 90 lakh names from the voter list through SIR. Addressing a public meeting in Meena Khan in support of candidate Usha Rani Mondal, the Chief Minister claimed that names of people from all religions and communities were removed. Electioneering is in full swing in Tamil Nadu with star campaigners. Senior BJP leaders and Union Ministers Piyush Goyal, Dr. L. Murugan, State BJP's former leader Annamalai are wooing voters for the NDA alliance. AIADMK leader Edappadi Palaniswamy, DMK Chief and Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu M.K. Stalin, Udayanidhi Stalin, Sengotia, Premalatha Vijayakanth, Dr. Ambumani Kanimuri and many others are crisscrossing the state, garnering votes for their parties. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has said that reservation for women in legislative bodies is in the need of the hour to make Indian democracy more vibrant and participative. Expressing his thoughts in an op-ed, Mr. Modi said that any delay in bringing this reservation will be deeply unfortunate. Sharing a video, the Prime Minister said that Parliament has been convened on the 16th of this month to discuss and pass an important bill that advances women's reservation.
हमने कुछ वर्ष पहले नारी शक्ति वंदन अधिनियम पारित किया था और सभी राजनीतिक दलों ने सहमति से किया था और सबकी इच्छा है कि 2029 में जब लोकसभा के चुनाव होंगे तब हमारे देश की नारी शक्ति को जनप्रतिनिधि के रूप में लोकसभा में विधानसभाओं में 33% स्थान मिलना ही चाहिए.
Women and Child Development Minister Annapurna Devi today launched the 8th edition of Poshan Pakhwada 2026 in New Delhi. The theme of Poshan Pakhwada is maximizing brain development in the first 6 years of life. Addressing the gathering, the minister said that the Pakhwada is an effort to turn nutrition into a people's movement. She said that Anganwadi, Asha and frontline workers are the backbone of this movement, working tirelessly from centers to households.
Mahila Bal Vikas Mantralay ka jo mandate hai.
The mandate of the Ministry of Women and Child Development is extremely vast and its reach extends to nearly every village across the country. There is no doubt that our Anganwadi workers consistently reach households in every season. At present, more than 8.9 crore beneficiaries are being served through around 14 lakh Anganwadi centers across India. The programs are being implemented by the Government of India, while state governments are also making continuous efforts to strengthen and improve them further through their own best practices.
Behtar karne ka prayas unke dwara bhi kiya jata hai.
During the event, the minister also launched the home visit scheduler in the Poshan Tracker app. This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. The Israel Defense Forces IDF said today that it has killed Ali Yusuf Harshi, personal secretary of Hezbollah Secretary General Naim Qasim in Beirut. Harshi was also the nephew of the Hezbollah chief who heads the Lebanese group backed by Iran. The development comes a day after the U.S. and Iran announced a two-week ceasefire agreement. IDF Chief of the General Staff, Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir, said that Israel will continue to strike Hezbollah and use every operational opportunity. Meanwhile, Reuven Azar, the ambassador of Israel to India today, reiterated Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's statement that Lebanon is not part of the ongoing two-week ceasefire between the United States and Iran. In an exclusive interview with a news agency, the Israeli envoy said Israel has made this clear and the American administration has also confirmed it. Meanwhile, Iran's parliament speaker Mohammad Baghir Khalipaf has warned that continued Israeli attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon would bring explicit costs and strong responses. We have more from our correspondent.
Iran has sharply criticized Israel's strikes on Lebanon, warning they could undermine ongoing negotiations. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian called the attacks violation of initial ceasefire agreement and said continued aggression would render talks meaningless. The Israeli military said it eliminated a close aide to Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem in a strike near Beirut, while also targeting weapons depot, launchers and command centers across southern Lebanon. European diplomats have called for Lebanon to be included in the broader ceasefire, warning that continued strikes risk collapsing the fragile truce. Iran has also not loosened its control over shipping movements through the Strait of Hormuz, raising concerns about global energy supplies if tensions escalate further. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Dubai.
Joint Secretary in the Department of Pharmaceuticals Satya Prakash T.L. today said the concerned departments are working in close coordination to ensure uninterrupted supply of essential pharma inputs in the country. During an interministerial briefing in New Delhi on the West Asia crisis, Mr. Satya Prakash said that global supply chains of pharma inputs have been disrupted due to the crisis.
There is no major increase in sales prices of drugs and pharmaceuticals. In order to support pharma industry and to maintain the availability of inputs, feedstocks and also APIs, Department of Revenue through notification dated 1st April 2026 has slashed custom duties of 40 various petrochemical products to zero.
Additional Secretary of Ministry of Ports, Shipping and Waterways Mukesh Mangal informed that Indian flagged vessel named Green Asha carrying LPG has safely reached JNPA earlier today.
Ministry of Ports, Shipping and Waterways, in coordination with Ministry of External Affairs, Cargo Ministries and Indian Missions, is actively monitoring the situation. No incident involving Indian flagged vessels or Indian seafarers has been reported in the past 24 hours. The Indian flagged vessel filled with LPG, Green Asha, that crossed the Strait of Hormuz on 5th of April 2026, has safely reached JNPA earlier today.
External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar today said that the partnership between India and Mauritius has witnessed remarkable and substantive progress in the span of just over a year. In a statement to media in Mauritius today, Dr. Jaishankar highlighted that during the state visit of Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Mauritius in March last year, the two governments jointly agreed to elevate bilateral ties to an enhanced strategic partnership.
During the state visit of Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Mauritius in March 2025, our two governments jointly agreed to elevate bilateral ties to an enhanced strategic partnership, a decision that stands as a powerful testament to the enduring bonds of history, of culture, and of mutual trust.
Indian women's team delivered a historic performance at the Asian Boxing Championships 2026, finishing on top of the medals chart with a total of 10 medals, including 4 gold, 2 silver and 4 bronze in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. India will be looking to finish the tournament strongly tomorrow with 2 men boxers in the finals. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Polling ends peacefully for assembly elections in Assam, Keralam and Puducherry. Assam registers over 85% voter turnout, Keralam over 78% and Puducherry about 89%. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in West Bengal and Tamil Nadu, with top leaders of various parties holding rallies in support of their candidates. India records highest ever annual solar capacity addition of around 45 gigawatt in financial year 2025-26. Israel says Lebanon is not part of the ongoing ceasefire between US and Iran. And in Asian Boxing Championships, Indian women boxers dominate by clinching 10 medals, including 4 gold in Mongolia. That is all in the news at 9. Good night.